Hi there. My name's Rob Ganley. I'm a magazine writer and editor, but I've also been writing short stories for many years. They've been published in magazines, including Litro and Under the Radar, in anthologies, including Songs for the Elephant Man from Leicester's Mantle Lane Press, and also online at Liars League, Dead Ink and more. I was born and grew up just down the road from Birmingham in Coventry. I spent many weekends in Birmingham as a kid and as a young man. We'd go see bands at the Digbeth Institute and at the Hummingbird, or we'd go clubbing at Wobble in Hockley, which had this amazing sprung dance floor. I seem to be coming back to Birmingham now more than ever before as part of writing West Midlands Room 204, or for the Tyndall Street Fiction Group, which meets fortnightly in Moseley. So Chris Rose invited me to submit to the anthology. He told me by email that it should be an odd or strange story, and over a pint in the ruin in Digbeth, he added that it should be weird. So as the deadline drew closer and inspiration hadn't yet smacked me between the eyes, I scavenged through some of the anecdotes, the images and part stories that I'd jotted down in various notebooks, and I started out doing a kind of Edward Scissorhands job at first, and it started to take shape and direction on the page. It meant that I threw a lot of different ingredients and locations into the mix. There's the now derelict St. Margaret's Mental Hospital in Great Barr, the skies above Birmingham Airport's flight path. There's the unexpected impact of the Millennium Bug 20 years on, and it's all wrapped up with an unreliable narrator. So the result is my story titled Plane Spotting, and this is an extract. Johnny was telling me about the time he'd outwitted a pub landlord he suspected was on the rob. He followed me into the kitchen, watched me refill the ice bucket, and was right behind me as I lugged it back out into the yard.
"Dan, are you listening? It was the Silver Cross in Digbeth," he said.
The sun blazed down on a dozen adults in my garden. Most of the men had circled the barbecue and were prodding sausages, beer in hand. Women huddled under the marquee, giggly on lady fizz, while their offspring, some of them my grandchildren, tore up and down the lawn, shrieking and spraying each other with water pistols. I eyed an Airbus as it passed over us on its descent to Birmingham.
"One of the largest in the West Midlands, in fact, so it was big news internally, like."
I crouched to put beers into the ice bucket. Johnny was a head taller than me, and he blocked out the sun as he stood over me, still talking. He was built for the police, but that hadn't worked out. After nearly two decades climbing the greasy pole, he'd left the force under a cloud. Now he was the senior investigations manager for a major regional brewery, which I won't name for legal reasons. He ate up motorway miles in his BMW 5 Series, listening to TalkSport and Lee Child audiobooks.
"I've been sent to check out the landlord, Janice, on the QT. The books weren't balancing. My investigations pointed to the cash and stock going missing when she was on duty."
Johnny had worked with my wife, Helen, years ago. She was adamant nothing ever happened between them, but Johnny never missed an opportunity to give her a more than matey squeeze.
"So I interviewed Janice in the beer cellar at the Cross. At first she wouldn't say a thing, but I got her to open up."
He was all easy charm and a smile nearly broad as his chest.
"I told her she could confide in me, that telling the truth would make it easier, that it was small fry and I could make it go away."
"How did that go down?" I said.
"She said I wasn't like the other investigations managers, that I was nice, that she felt she could trust me. In the end, she coughed to a racket she had going."
Johnny adjusted himself heavily with one hand, his other resting on a fence post.
"We took a break and I stepped outside and called the police. As the cop car pulled up, I nipped back inside and told her she was about to be nicked and would likely serve jail time."
I raised my eyebrows at this.
"And she's all like,
'But you said you cared for me. You said I wouldn't get into trouble.'"
"You want to know what I said back?"
I don't like lying, so I smiled instead.
"I said to her, 'You're a thief, I'm a liar.'"
He paused, then boomed with laughter, doubled over.
"You're a thief, I'm a liar," he repeated, shaking his head.
Helen emerged from the kitchen and handed me a tray of kebabs. Here you go, Dan, love. Who's a liar, Johnny? Johnny straightened himself and poured it to him.
We're just talking about work, beautiful lady, he said, his face inches from hers.
You reek of booze, she said. Helen squirmed for Johnny to release her, but he pulled her tighter. A roar like jet engines filled my ears. I stabbed him hard in the arm with a veg kebab. He let Helen go. Sorry, Johnny. Could you take these across to the Barbie, pal?
And that was Rob reading Plane Spotting there. And what a fine job he did too. Great story, as they all are in the anthology. I'm finding it really interesting how a lot of these stories have similar themes. Of course they do. They're all set in Birmingham. But Birmingham is a huge place. Okay, it's not London, which is just obscenely big. But Birmingham is the second biggest city in the UK. And it's quite easy to live here and not bump into any of these other people. I lived here for some time in the late 93, 94. I didn't know anybody, and it was quite lonely. You know, it's on that kind of scale. So it's really wonderful to for bits of these stories to overlap and link up with others. With no intention of that happening whatsoever. It's interesting to hear that Rob travelled up from Coventry. I used to travel up a little bit from Northampton, and I didn't go to Wobble, but I went to the club upstairs, New Tonic. So it's you've got these commonalities within you know the lives that we live, but also the stories that we tell. So you know the hospital, the airport, and when you read this, these stories in conjunction with the other stories, if you don't know Birmingham, it paints a wonderful picture of this crazy, hectic place that we all live and write in. Right, I'm going to shut up now, otherwise I'll have nothing to talk about next time. So, I hear you cry. What is happening next time? Well, next time I believe it will be episode 7, because obviously that follows 6, doesn't it? And it will be the final one that I do. So, it will be me. So, I'll be talking about my story that's in the anthology, Raven, and a little bit about myself and what led up to the creation of that story. These 7 episodes aren't the only stories that are in the anthology. They're just the 7 that we're sharing with you to give you a little taster of what you can expect from this great book. So thanks for listening. As always, I've been Gary Fletcher and I've put these together, and I hope you enjoy them. Cheers.